Okay, thank you, Jesus. Wednesday, 3/25/26. This is How Faith Works, part 35. So if you want to catch up, your dad can do you a flash drive. The title of this is called The Trial of Your Faith. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start with verse 1 there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God and the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching water what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right there, verse 13 for a minute. Gird up the loins of your mind. Keep that in your mind as we go forward. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Okay, let's see. Three more verses. Seeing ye have purified yourselves and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now I want to look at that word loins for a minute. It means the hip or procreative power. So I see pregnancy here. That's where the mother carries the baby in the womb, and that's where faith is conceived. The loins of your mind. Okay, Ephesians 6:14. It's part of the armor of God. look at that just a minute, just verse 14 there. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. So this is where we create. The first time I remember hearing about faith was from Youngie Cho. And Youngie Cho was believing God for a bicycle. I think it was a desk chair and something else. Don't remember. It was a desk.
And a
chair and a bicycle. And people would say, well, you asked for it and you didn't get it. He says, I'm pregnant. He did get all three things. That's the first time I ever heard faith. It's like you believe it and you conceive it and you give birth to it. That's how faith operates. But you got to guard the loins of your mind because you have an adversary, the devil, that's after that word. Pregnancy, there's a baby in there, but you don't see it yet, right? Not for 9 months, usually. That's the way faith works. So many look at faith as a formula for getting things that they want, but it is so much more than that. It's God's creative force. In Genesis 1, God said, light be, light was, and you see the whole first chapter of Genesis pretty well as his creation. What he made, based on what he saw. Well, let's just look at what he saw right quick. This is Genesis 1:1, about the first three verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. It was a blank canvas. What had happened? I don't know. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Right here, the Strong's to brood or think deeply. He was thinking about what he was going to speak. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And if you read the whole chapter, it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. This is the way God does things. Faith creates. I'm telling you today, we can do the same thing if we will discipline ourselves to learn it. Just think about never having to hear somebody say, well, we can't get one of those. That's not possible. There's no way. It's a rare item. You just can't get it. I beg to differ with you. If you could conceive it and believe it and speak it, you can get it. Your dad got a pickup that way. So it works. Faith works. So the context is like pregnancy. You conceive the baby grows in the womb, and then out pops the baby over a certain period of time. Okay, God has given us, as born-again believers, a measure of that faith. This is Romans 12:3. He's given to every man the measure of faith. So everyone has faith, so no one can say, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. Everyone has faith. Right here. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God is a faith God. He was a faith God in the Old Covenant. He's still a faith God in the New Testament. He's not changed. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he has not changed. His way is the way of faith. And the most blessed people on the earth are the people that learn how to go the way of faith. Why? Because they can bypass impossibilities. Our impossibilities can become possibilities. Okay. The first experience using your faith is getting born again. Let's look at this. This is in Romans chapter 10. Start with verse 6 there. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, Who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And we'll look at the heart here in a minute, what the heart means there. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So by faith, that's how we come to know him as Lord and Savior. We have an adversary who doesn't like this fact. He can't create. He never created anything but a mess. He can't create. I hate that when I hear people talk about how powerful the devil is, and he doesn't create anything. He didn't create sickness and disease. He didn't create anything. All he does is try to come and steal the word from you. Okay, let's look at that. Well, first let's go to 1 Peter, then we'll go to the other. 1 Peter 4. No, he didn't create anything. He does not have creation ability in him, but he can convince you to say it out of your mouth and you create it. That's how he operates. He'll get you to say the negative. So before you know it, you got it. And you wonder, how did I get it? 1 Peter, y'all there? 1 Peter 4:12. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, you decide to walk by faith, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. You go, oh my gosh, what's happened? But it says, rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You know, most people don't understand, and so it's like, I don't understand that kind of stuff. I don't understand faith stuff, so I don't use faith stuff. Because when you do, you go against the grain of things. The God of this world, he's here by right, tricked the man and woman out of what God had created them. So now he has the right to go around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That is 1 Peter also. Right here, look at verse 6 of 5, chapter 5. Says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as the roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. See, we can't fight this foe with any other weapons but spiritual weapons. And those are weapons of faith. Knowing that your same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the agenda that he has. So you can, this is the option that we have to stand by faith. The devil did not create a thing. He only steals, kills, and destroys. That is his agenda. It takes some time to master walking by faith and learning his ways and not being duped by him. Satan knows how valuable that your faith is, but do you know how valuable that faith is? This is 1 Peter 1:7. We read it a while ago. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I got to thinking about that. In this day and age, gold is one of the most precious commodities there is on the earth right now. But God says your faith is more precious than gold, because it'll get you anything you need, anything you desire, if you can believe him for it. Okay, how could Peter make this statement? Because he got it. He understood. how precious your faith is. We're going to look at God's formula for his kind of faith. Go to Matthew 6. We're going to start with 19. So the opposite, if you didn't use your faith, then you would just, what would you do? You'd just be walking in the flesh, right? Just always walking in the flesh, right here. That's the way the two, there's two masters, it says, right here, it says 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Just think about that. No thought for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here's key. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So the whole world is running around seeking things and seeking all the different avenues they need to try to secure their future and all these things. But God is saying, don't take a thought for your life, but seek first the kingdom. I know from experience, when you seek first the kingdom, God has your best interest at heart, and he'll make sure, because you put him first, he takes care of all that other stuff. But most people don't know that. All they know is you just got to go take care of yourself. But that's not what the scripture says. Once you declare your word, something that you want from God, you don't back down. You hold your ground. Because the devil comes to steal the word. That's his main objective. This is Mark chapter 4. Forward. It's a parable of the sower. Verse 14 and 15, it says, the sower sows the word. So when you use your faith, you do it based on the word of God. You sow the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So he'll bring situations to make it look like you're not going to get it. You're not going to get what you decreed or what you said or what you want. And because you didn't get it, you lose heart. Yeah, see, he's the thief. That's what he's come to do. Right here, the word heart. It's the thoughts, the feelings, or the mind. Or it's called the middle, like I said, the womb. couple more scriptures and I'll be done. Like I said, I don't go real long. Proverbs 4. I'm going to begin with verse 20 there. Let me read 19 because it kind of sets the stage. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. In other words, they just don't know their way. They've lost their way. It says here, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For their life unto those that find them, and pelt to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of the issues of life, that's your mind, not your blood pump. Put away from thee a froward mouth. In other words, don't speak crooked speech. Don't say, I never get anything, and I ain't going to get nothing, and they're this, and they're that, all these things. And then you try to use your faith. Well, it's not going to work that way. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Faith is a stand that outlasts the devil. Period. All the resources in the earth God made for his children, and even though it looks like the devil's crowd has stolen it all, it isn't possible. Because we have the same creative ability that God has. If we want something, we use our faith. When we use our faith for whatever we choose, there is no lack of supply ever. Because, you know, all they've done is stolen it and hidden it, so it's still here. Everything God made for his kids, everything is still here. And you know, when they die, they don't get to take it with them. They spend their generations stacking it up, doing the underground tunnels, filling it with gold and all that stuff. For what? They don't get to take it with them. They just hide it just from God's children. One more passage of scripture, and we'll be done. This is Romans chapter 4. I'm telling you today, if you're lacking, you don't say, well, it's not possible to get that. There's no way. They say they're not going to have any for all these months. It depends on you, doesn't it? No, my father owns it all. He owns it all. Okay, this is Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So even the old covenant, they could use this faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, God, when he saw the void, what did he say? Oh my God, it's so terrible. They've ruined everything. There's no way we can fix this. No. He said, light be. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Here's a man that's, well, they are very old, and she's barren. And God promises them that we're going to have the seed like multitudes. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it is imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone. In other words, the impossible. God loves to show the impossible possible to his children, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we declare or believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So there's not anything I'm thinking, you know, today they can't even help probably a 60-year-old woman have a baby, much less a 90-year-old woman. But by faith, what was impossible became possible. That's why that the only one that limits is we ourselves. We're the ones that limit. God doesn't limit us. He's given us, he's told you, hey, it lays before you. Go. He told the man and the woman that. One more. This is Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. He's not talking about having babies. He's not talking about getting heavy moving equipment and building cities. He's talking about use your faith to create. Multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. Now the game wardens have dominion over everything, every sport, everything you kill. It's so much red tape you can't even hardly enjoy it anymore. Why? Because the people of God have not used their faith. They've not subdued. They've not taken dominion that was rightfully theirs to take. And over all the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The only one that sets the limits is ourselves. Abraham called it by faith. That is what God did in Genesis 1. He called it by faith. When someone tells you it's not available, bypass that and call for what you want. Thank you.